I just very happy today because I see new faces that I've never seen before. It's a new day. New faces means new day. I just want to let you know that it is a great honor to be here. And it is a great honor to be invited to be here. We don't come represent ourselves. We come representing a family. And we come from the family called the Church of Zion. Normally we meet in Surrey. Some of you who are familiar with a school called Pacific Academy, that's where we meet every Sunday. And it's one of the, I think one of the popular Christian school in our town here. And Pacific Academy has been a great blessing for us. Like Pastor Rick has said, and Pastor Grishin also, that when I come, it's not my comfort zone to be coming alone, because I like to bring a team with me. And today we are three little women, and we really mean little women, because I come humbly before you, and knowing that God has great things to speak to you and impart to your spirit today. So here with me is Helene. She's been here before. So it's Helene. This is Helene. Yeah. And this is Iris. Okay, Iris. Yeah. I don't usually just handpick people, because the Lord put on my heart this time specifically to bring not just I don't mean old, because I'm young, but in the middle, not just the older generation, but also somebody who represents the younger generation. I find that these days, whatever we do, or whatever I do, I find that it's all by faith, because we never really functioned together, but the Lord put on my heart to bring a younger generation, and put my Iris in my heart, and put Helene in my heart. So I just call them up, and you may say it so happened that, but it's nothing coincident. It's not so happened, but Iris would have something to share with you about how, you know, God has give her things to share a little bit with you, and then Helene also have something a little bit to share with you. But I just want to start by saying that you know, God is a faithful God. Amen. Yeah, do you all agree? God is a faithful God. You know, the fact that you are here today just shows that He has called you. He's a faithful God. He has chosen you for such a time as this. There's nothing more privileged or beneficial to live in such a time to witness what God is doing. Because, you know, like the prayer of Jabez, you know, that one person, you know, his name is only mentioned once or twice. Only one. That man called Jabez in the Bible. And his prayer has actually become an impact to the whole world. If you read the prayer of Jabez, only one prayer. He said, God, and bless me and enlarge my territory. Bless me and enlarge my territory. And I feel that today the Lord, you know, just a proven example that we are here because we're being enlarged. Because the Lord has never called us to just focus on our own congregation, on our own little church. But the Lord has called us to go to other churches, to be a part of other part of the body of Christ, and to be the last time when I was here, I shared about how God has actually taken us to the nations, many, many nations. You know, China is rising up, Malaysia is rising up, because God has allowed the little church called Church of Zion to touch many, many people throughout the nations. And I promise your pastor that I'll be here every 2 months, but in the near future, I will show you clips of how God used the simple little thing to bless a huge, like really the world, because China is in rising up. And we don't mean just to focus on China, but this is what God is doing. He has his eye on China, and particularly in the Asian continent. So praise the Lord. There's a lot of exciting things that are happening. But today, we just want to come bringing something small and yet has a huge impact. So we're going to start with Iris, because she's got a song. She's got, hey, this is a petite woman, but she's got something huge faith, I tell you. So, just feel free.
Okay, so I feel like, you know, God has sort of given me a song that I want to share with all of you today. And you guys might know it. It's called Majesty. It's quite popular, and I'm not sure if you can play it. I don't mean to put you on the spot. If not, then... Oh, okay. Because I feel like to maybe sing a little bit and you know, in the context of it, right? For those who know the song, you know, the chorus speaks like this, Majesty, Majesty. Oh, yes. If we can go to the chorus. Yeah, so it says, you know, your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. And I... That's fine, that's okay, that's okay. Sorry, I put you on the spot. Yeah.
Acapella, yeah. Acapella.
But I really feel these three lines is, you know, what God really wants to speak to us today. And I sort of feel like in context of what Lucy is saying, you know, like how God uses the little and bring it to the nations. Sometimes I feel like God also uses the little in us, and not just to the nations, but God asks us to bring it to where we are, right? To the schools, to the workplace, you know, outside the church, you know, when the wall breaks down. And I really feel like, you know, God is saying that, you know, sometimes we feel like there's nothing we can offer. We come empty-handed, but I feel like God is saying that, you know, He doesn't care whether our hands are full or empty. You know, sometimes we feel like we're weak, we don't know what to offer, we are weary, we're tired, we don't know if we can keep on going anymore, but I feel like God really wants to speak to us and be like, you know, all He wants to do us to do is be alive in His hands, because He is enough and His power is sufficient. And, you know, when we walk close to Him, we go to work, we go to school, and He is there with us, and us being alive is all that He asks for. So if we could just maybe repeat the three lines a few times, that would be good. Okay. And I'm guessing Pastor Rick is going to help me with this. Yeah, Mike, is anyone who...
close to you just in case.
And anyone who knows can help me as well. So we'll go... Majesty, Majesty, Your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in Your hands. With Majesty, Majesty, Your grace, and I am changed by Your love. In the presence of Your majesty, we'll sing it one more. Majesty, majesty, Your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in Your hands. Majesty, majesty, forever I am changed by Your love. In the presence of Your majesty. Thank you. Amen. I'll pass it to Ellie.
Hi, I'm Helene. I'm glad to come here because on the way I'm so happy. I have two pictures. One of the pictures is the tree has been plumbed and the new leaves grow. The other picture is the seed already sprouts. So I have the faith When Lucy said Chinese is rising, Japan is rising, blah, blah, blah is rising. But today, I say, all of you are rising. Amen. You have the chance, you have the hope, because you are chosen by the God.
Thank you. This is truly a time that generations are rising, not just the older, but the younger generation. I see a lot of young generation here, and that's the reason why I have Iris with you today, with us today, because God needs everyone, and the reality is we need each other. We cannot live in isolation anymore because the Lord is calling us not to live on an island, but He's calling us to live as a family. So I really feel that there's a transition to go from a structured church to a family. And I believe that all of you know what family is, because specifically after the church today, we're all going to have a meal together. And a family come together and have mealtime together. And during mealtime, you share, you not just play, but you also pray. And I believe that this is the time that this church is rising up. And that's why I feel that even the littlest, thing that we feel we are, God's using that little thing. And just in reference to the picture that Helene was sharing, you know, there's two parts of the picture. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, there's a tree and there's seeds. Okay, a tree, you know, is being pruned. All the old leaves are being pruned and being thrown away, because old leaves means old. But unless the old being withered and being pruned and being, you know, cut and pruned properly, the new cannot rise up. The new ones cannot grow, right? And today, you know, if you feel that you belong to a tree, this is the time that new leaves are growing, new leaves are coming out, and it's a change of season. You know, it's summer out there. You don't have to wear winter clothes anymore. It is hot. It is, although some of us are feeling cold inside because of the air conditioning, but there's a change of season. Don't worry, I'm just... Yeah, no? Okay. There's a change of season. And we all know that. Even spiritually, there is something called the change of season. The Book of Solomon, the Song of Solomon says the winter is past and springtime has come. Remember that verse? Springtime has come. And the second part to the picture is the seed. You know, seed is the smallest thing on earth. Seed. Oh, thank you. You know, only a father can do that. Seriously. I really honor Rick because he's a father. He's a spiritual father. And we walk in these days believing that, you know, the hearts of the father turn to the children and the children back to the father. Malachi, the last verse in the Old Testament. Read that verse if you don't know your word. When you turn to your Bible, it says very clearly, why is God doing that? Because he wants to remove the curse from the land. The opposite of curse is what? And what is blessing? It's the name of your church. It's the name of your church. Do you know that? You belong to blessings. If you don't belong to blessings, you're not here. You won't be here if you don't belong here. You come here because this is your family. The reverse of curse is blessing. Remember that verse. If you forget everything, remember, the word of God says, the Lord is saying, he wants to turn away curse so that he would impart blessings unto you. And blessings comes because we represent the younger generation. We want to honor our spiritual father and mother. Not because they are perfect people, but in the midst of imperfections, honor comes. And honor is not a cultural thing, although we do have something called honor in our Chinese culture, but honor is in the heart. And I pray that the Lord will teach us and show us the understanding of what honor means in his heart. Okay? So let me go back to the picture. The picture on seats. You know, recently I took a team to Nanaimo. And that is to visit a member of parliament, and he and his wife live in Nanaimo, and to pray with him and to pray for the government of Canada. So he took us to a farmhouse, and he said, come with me, I'll take you to my farm. So he showed us horses, And he said, I'll take you along this little trail. So he took us along this little trail and he walked. It's full of ants. Full of ants. You know, ants, one thing about this little creature is ants know exactly where they're going. You know that? You don't see one ant going this way and then 100 ants going one way. All the 1,000 ants always going along the same trail. You notice that? And the Bible in Proverbs chapter 6, rebuke the lazy. So you sluggard. Look at the ants, you know. I said, oh, okay, God, you know, are you talking to me? The ants are really hardworking because ants, interestingly, the Bible, the Word of God says they have no rulers, they have no commanders, they have no leaders. But no, they know exactly their ranking. They know exactly how to walk in teams. If they say, if this, you know, this ant goes one line, 1,000 of them go the same line. They don't go sidetracked. They don't go distracted. They follow and they gather their crops in the summer. The Bible says they gather their harvest in the Bible. So harvest in the summer. And they are wise creatures. Okay? Look at Proverbs 6:6. When you have a chance, go look at your Bible. Proverbs 6:6 is very clear. So when we were in Nanaimo, you know, we follow our MP. You know, this MP said, just come with me, you know, so we follow him and look at the ants. They walk and they go one line, they go up to the trees. So what are they doing in the trees? They gather this little thing, I don't know what it's called, but brought it down. And then they brought it down to a place, and we walked to that place, and they built a huge ant hill. It's like their dynasty. That's where I go, ooh, okay. That's like, it's scary, but that's the nature of ants. They know that they have to listen to only one command. And just like us today, we have to only to listen to just one command, and that is the Lord is the head of the body of Christ. He placed you and I in the body of Christ. The body of Christ does not just include the pastors and the leaders. It's all of us. Can you tell your neighbor? All of us. Yeah, all of us. You are the body of Christ. Tell your neighbor. You are the... It's too hot. You are the body of Christ. So that includes you and I, right? We are important part of the body of Christ. And today the Lord is calling us to walk in generations. Okay? Meaning it's not just the older generation, but we need each other, the younger generation. There is something that the younger generation is doing, or there's something that God wants to do through you, like all of you, in your school, in your workplace, in your ministry, in your homes, everywhere. Even if you are just a housewife, even if you're feeling that you're nobody. Okay, let me tell you a story. In Hong Kong, there was a woman called Mrs. Wong. Mrs. Wong, hi, sorry. Mrs. Wong has got no title. Mrs. Wong does not have theological training. Mrs. Wong doesn't know how to preach. Mrs. Wong is just a simple housewife, okay? She doesn't know a church bureaucracy. She doesn't know how to even talk properly because she's just uneducated, Mrs. Wong, okay? But today, God is using Mrs. Wong. She is probably one of the most influential women in Hong Kong and largely Asia because the Lord asked her to pray in her closet. The Lord asks her when she prays, the Lord shows her things. The Lord shows her secret things, and she begins to impart only in wisdom to pray for leaders, to pray for pastors, to pray for government, to pray for the school system, to pray for social economics stuff. So she begins to rise up, and she, out of nobody, the Lord begins to use her. Mrs. Wong, if you ask anybody in Hong Kong, you know, she is well known, and she is one of those who just out of simplicity. So today we want to just say we are, you know, we may not feel that we have something, but the Lord wants to use the little thing, and it's like ants. Ants, you step on it, it'll die. Okay? Ants are little, the littlest creature. You know, but ants are very powerful. Because some of us, like I used to, only if I have my education, then I'll love God and I'll serve God. Oh, only when I get married, then I'll have a house and I'll love God and I'll serve God. Only if I, you know, I'm healthy, and when I have money, I'll go travel and I'll serve God. No, the Lord says start with the little that you have, very little. The Lord used a small beginning. God uses the little things, and recently, we know of a couple. You know, the couple who were actually they don't have much. Spiritually, they were so dry. They were pastors in another church, and something happened. They came out so frustrated, so rejected, and so feeling so useless of themselves. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit rises up in them, and they begin to go to places like first the internet. You know what Facebook is today, these days? You know, internet is so widely used, you know, to share with young people, you know, be the church, be the body of Christ wherever you are. You know, like Iris was saying, you know, it's not just about the nations. Be even empty-handed. The Lord said, just be the people of God wherever you are. So they began to go to schools, you know, little communities, and young people started to rise up. Many people just begin to share about what God has given them in their hearts. Many people wake up and get dreams from the Lord and begin to share and being inspired by all that, you know, that God is doing. And you know, it's like ants, you know, like when you share with another person, the other person get excited and they want to share more. So that grow become that, like, it's like the church is growing in schools, and then they begin to go to Pakistan. Oh, I tell you, if you look at their Facebook, that there's young people just growing huge, and they don't wait for the pastors to come train them. They just stand up and they're just starting to share what's on their heart. The simple little people who know nothing much, all they know is they have Jesus in their heart. They want to share the simplicity of the gospel. And the youth churches began to grow so big in Pakistan, in India, in many parts of the world. And why? Because we have a couple who just step in obedience in spite of their circumstance. They're feeling discouraged, not knowing what to do, but they just, God just birthed something in their hearts, and they begin to step out by faith. And I just feel that, you know, if these are just not distant stories, these are stories that can happen to you and I. You know, these are stories, it can happen right here. You know, I recently came back from China, and we were attending a gathering, and in between there were times to have a meal with people. So I met a couple, and I met, so this it's a pastor couple, and so this male pastor, and he started to share with me his experience and how he went through depression, how he went through the ups and downs in his life. And so I asked him, when did it begin, this symptom? He said, I don't know. All of a sudden, he just, you know, there's just depression that hit him. And during our course of our conversation, while we're having a meal together, he all of a sudden made a statement, okay? He said something like that. He said, Lucy, if you're feeling dry, if you're feeling that, you know how you're feeling dry? Does anybody know what feeling dry means? You know, yeah. If you're feeling dry, sometimes, oh, I tell you, I've got nothing to offer. You're feeling dry, and spiritually, you're feeling that you have nothing to give. He said, come to China. Oh, okay. Come to China. And then he said, come to the remotest part of China. Like, in other words, don't go to the city. Come to the poor, the countryside, where they have nothing. I said, oh, okay, interesting. I don't know why he told me that, but I know God is speaking to me. So I said, you know, we're just having a meal. He said, come to China. He said, in China, in those places, people are so hungry spiritually. people are so hungry that when you have just a little something to offer them, a little word of God, a little message, a little woman like us, a little, you know, prayer, a little prophetic word, they just want to touch you. They want to touch you like as if this is healing from, as if they're touching Jesus. They want to grab hold of your garment, you know, like, you know, when he gave me a garment, it's the same kind of feeling. Like they just want to touch your garment as if like my body is going to be restored. It's like my struggle will be set free, you know, just because you bring the presence of the Lord. I said, oh, okay, I didn't know that. And so, like I said earlier, I didn't know why he told me this. And normally in my natural tendency, who is he to tell me this? You know what I mean? So I came back because I knew the Lord is speaking to me about something. I don't know what that is. I came back and I gave a little thought about what he was telling me. And I felt, yes, there is a truth about the hunger level in those parts of the world that we don't have here. Do you agree? Here in this part of this world, in North America, we have everything, pretty much. You want a church building, you have it. You want a piano, you get it. You want a house, you can buy it. You want family, you want children, you make plans to have children. Pretty much everything. You want education, you go get it. Your money, you go find job, as long as you're not picky with what kind of jobs you're getting. There's a lot of jobs out there. You have pretty much everything. But in China, it's not like that. They have very little. You know, the countryside people, they have very little. And because of that, the Lord has used China and create a hunger level that is so high spiritually. I said, Lord, I want that hunger level. That here in the midst of comfort, in the midst of when there is no persecution, when there's no persecution, allow us to love you even more. Please, Lord, show us how to love you, love your word, love you to a degree that we don't even know how to love. We don't, you know, honestly, I don't know because it's so comfortable. I don't know what hungry means because I've always had food in the natural. I don't know what hungry means. But they know. But they know. So I gave a thought about what I was told. And I said, but in reality, I can't say I'm going to fly to China whenever I'm dry. That's not realistic. That is unrealistic. I can't do that. So I said, Lord, in reverse, it's now and here. Here and now. Here in this place. In this place, God, you want to do great things amongst us. Now, I don't want to be 10 years later to, you know, love you. I want to love God now. You know, I want to serve the Lord now. I want to, with the little that I have, I want to begin to step in by faith. Because Hebrews 11, the first verse in that chapter, is faith is actually the substance of what you hope for. The substance. Because what we're speaking right now is not just, you know, empty words, but it's substance. Something of a faith that is small as a mustard seed is a substance. Because once it's sown to the heart, to your heart, it begins to grow. It begins to mature. Because God wants to mature this body of Christ. Blessings, you are called for such a time as this because the Lord wants to mature this body. And it's also the assurance of what we do not see. And really, spiritual things we don't see with our naked eyes. But the Lord, help us open the eyes of our hearts so that we will be enlightened to see and to receive what you have to speak. Because it's not by pure words. It's not but just by simple words. But it's the real word of life. Word of life in Hebrews 11, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. And these are what the ancient fathers are commended for. If you have time to read the whole passage, the whole passage is talking about how Abraham walked by faith, how Noah walked by faith, how many people walked by faith. But if you scroll down to the last verse of the whole chapter, this is the key that I like to impart. The last chapter, all these are commended for their faith, yet none of them, okay? None of them received what had been promised. They only saw it from distance. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us, say together with us, together with us, they be made perfect. Amen? It's only together with us. In other words, the Lord needs you and I. Even these fathers and mothers of faith, they need us. They need us, because only together with us that we or they be made perfect. So I know that there's a impartation of faith that the Lord wants to give today as the fresh bread today. You don't want to go home and receive and eat stale bread. Today there's something fresh that God has already speaking to you, that we are walking as a generation. So I wonder, in the next 10 minutes or so, I'm going to introduce something that is very unchurch-like. It's called taking a stand on what we've heard and responding to it. Because really, God is looking for responses, responses from our hearts. So I'd like to do, let me check with my team first. I have a blessed team here. Some of you have something stirring in your heart that you can respond. You have a voice. And whoever who's feels stirred right now, just come on here, come on up here, and either you respond by a simple prayer or a worship song or just one statement of declaration of faith. Just come out here. Don't be shy. This is family. Remember? Yeah, I'm just going to put the mic here because you are the body of Christ. Remember? Just come and respond.
I have a song to share. We sang it last week, actually. Johnny, do you want to come up and do it with me? Huh? I have the music. It's okay. You can sit beside me. The song's called Once Again. Last week when we sang it, I felt like everyone, one way or another, kind of felt connected to the song somehow, whether, you know, you're going through something happy or you're going through something sad or if you're feeling lonely or something. And I felt like it kind of gave hope to everyone in different ways. And so if we can sing it together again.
Hey, you found it. Okay.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life. I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now I marvel at his saving grace. Once again, and I for a praise once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Once again I think on the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessings you have provided us here, all that we have, whether it's something physical or just relationships, mentors, friends, family that you have blessed us with, people you have put in our lives to guide us and support us. We thank you for your many blessings, and we pray for the strength that you may use us as support for other people as well, so that we may be doing your work just like you have other people doing your work for us. We thank you for your plans. We thank you for your covering, your guidance, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If any of you have faith like a mustard seed, Lord, we just thank you that we look at the smallness and we think, what can happen? There's nothing that can happen through such a small little insignificant, small little speck of something. But Lord, we thank you that seed of that mustard seed represents faith so well, because there's so much potential there. There's so much potential for life there. I thank you, Lord, that through all of our weaknesses and through all of our failures, you still say, it's okay, rise up. You don't need much, just a little bit of faith. And it's so powerful. It's like that seed. It's like that mustard seed. Yes, Lord, we take your word into us. We allow it to do the work in our hearts. So that little bit of faith can start to blossom and grow. And all of a sudden, big things are starting to happen. And it's able to push aside the things, the struggles that we have. It's able to push them aside and bring fruit. And so, Lord, we don't want to struggle in relationship with you, but rather we want to surrender and say, have your way. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, it was a while ago. I went to the West Coast, and I saw this area where, like, there's lots of fishermen and all that kind of thing. And it just kind of hit me again when you were sharing this morning that, you know, he didn't pick theologians. He picked fishermen. Can you imagine one of those fisher guys, you know? He smells like fish, and his whole occupation has been throwing nets out, you know, and he's got maybe strong arms, but he doesn't necessarily have a strong brain. And they use those guys to change the world and put the world upside down. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go ahead and command a blessing upon us, okay? Yes, Lord. We say, yes, Lord. We're small, maybe we are a little smelly like fishermen, but Lord, we thank you that there's so much potential here in this room. We just want to speak that onto every single person in this room. So much potential, so much power, so much potential in the smallness of who we are. So much potential for love, because you've called us to be family. Amen. We receive it. We receive it. That we'll be family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You went like this. Like, yeah. Sweetheart.
We have the UCF meeting again, 7 o'clock in this place.
UFC. Youth for Christ. UFC. I like that. UFC. It sounds like a university. Come to UFC. I like that. Also, I don't know if you guys caught it or not, but when these guys were talking about some of the things that they saw, about the branches that were being cut off, the seeds that were starting to blossom and grow, it sounds an awful lot like this youth group that's starting up, the cutting off of the old, this planting of the new, you know, it just, as soon as she gave me that word today, I was like, whoa, bringing the youth person today. She needed to bring the youth person today. Are you guys catching it? It's almost like they're starting out, Jesus, there's a lot of people here. We can't feed them. We better send them home. What do you have? You feed them. What do you mean? Will you feed them? And then take out the fish, take out the loaves, bless it, pass it out. Not many people saw the incredible miracle. Most people just ate. As a matter of fact, even the disciples, they didn't see the amazing miracle that happened. And in the very next story, what ends up happening is, after the 4,000 are fed, is Jesus is walking on the water, and the disciples are freaking out because they think they see a ghost. And then they say, no, it's me. They get in. He gets in the boat, and the waves calm down. The storm stops and everything. And it says that they are absolutely amazed. But then something even more amazing happens. Jesus says this: why are you so amazed? Don't you understand about the fish? Don't you understand about the loaves? In other words, he's saying, what happened with the 5,000, what happened with the 4,000 is so miraculous, it should be a paradigm shift in your head. You should be thinking differently. When you see somebody walking on the water, you shouldn't be surprised. You shouldn't be surprised. It should change the way you think. It should change the way that you perceive things. And there was something that happened here this morning, and I don't want you guys to miss it like most of the people miss it. Don't you see that this kind of represented, it was a reflection of what's going on in our congregation right now. We're starting this youth group. She brings the youth person. They're talking about the old and the new. They're talking about the generational thing today. Don't miss it. This is a reflection of what's going on in our congregation. Amen? Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. We're being fed. Don't miss it. Amen? I want to honor Jemhua today because she along with Larry have started this youth group thing. And you're being honored today by these three people. The two of you and the youth are being honored today by these three people that are here. It's a reflection of what's going on in our congregation, okay? All right? So let's take that and receive it, all right? Amen? Amen. And let's take that. I hope that Larry, Jemhua, you take that as kind of an affirmation and kind of an encouragement for what you guys are doing as well. So, okay. Okay. Yeah. Can you guys come up? We'll pray for you, Larry. It's not an accident. They just walked in. Come on up, Jemhua. Larry, come on up. I'm going to pray for you guys. Yes, yes.
If you allow me to just say a little something before we all dismiss for lunch. No, you come. You come. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to grab you and hold on to you. Don't you go anywhere.
Is it? Okay. Larry and Gemma. Okay. Did you hear, it may be just the voice of your pastor, but I really hear God is saying, don't miss it. You have to differentiate. It's like the Holy Spirit, God, use a human voice to speak, but it's the Lord said, don't miss it. So I take it seriously when the Lord speaks. Don't miss it. And it's not their business. This is the kingdom business, right? We must rise up as a church, as the body of Christ, and surround them with prayers. If we don't, it's going to affect not just them, because it's not about them, it's going to affect your children and your children's children. It's generational. Remember Malachi? It's like the Lord wants to remove the curse from the land so that he will bring blessing. You want blessings? Sure, I want blessings. Do you all want blessings? Yes. So let's all rise up, surround them with your prayer and encouragement. We are with them. They're not walking alone. Come and, I don't know how we're going to do this, maybe remove some of the chairs and surround them. And pray. Pray for them.
Yeah, can I say something?
Yeah.
Oh, and I just want to say something. Larry actually put a lot of time into this fellowship. So I just want you guys to all really kind of come and encourage us. Because when we see that the attendance is big, it makes us feel a sense of positive optimism, right? But the thing is, when we come every Saturday for this, it's not about Larry, it's not about myself, mm-hmm. It's about the young people, right? And I truly feel that this church really need a younger generation, like you mentioned earlier, new branch, new growth. Yeah. We really need that. Not to be disrespectful to the older generation, but I'm just saying that we need new blood and new generation and new insight. We need this church to go in a brand new direction in terms of growth spiritually and also in whichever area of that you can see where it's going in perspective of, you know, from your own background. But I just pray that you guys really come and, you know, encourage us. Like, you know, just like twice a month, it's not like a whole lot. And just when you, even when you just come, right, it makes us feel like, you know, we're actually doing something right. Yeah.
What's your age limit in this youth group? Under?
Well, basically from...
Good question.
Well, it's hard to actually set an age because everyone here has different age bracket. So like Zachary is like the baby in the group right now, and he's 11. So we were hoping from like 12 up to young adult, like in their 20s. So because, you know, you need older people to kind of lead the younger one, right?
That's right.
Sort of.
The reason I ask is maybe those who are under 30 can stand in the middle. The ones who are 30 and above?
They're all under 30.
Oh, 40, how's that? Those who are older, like me, will stand and cover you. How's that? Stand. So those who are, yeah, who are under 40?
You say 40?
Okay, yeah. And the rest of you are youth.
No,
you are the youth leader. You have to go in here. This is a prophetic declaration. Come. Yeah. Yeah, together. Yeah, come.
Yes, Father God, we just thank you for this beautiful youth group that is birthing right now. Yes. And just as what we're saying, Father God, I just feel that, you know, we might be humble beginnings, but you have such great plans for them. That you'll just use this little youth group to fulfill these plans you have for these young people, Father God. And Father, as you know, the older generation are surrounding them right now. I just feel that, you know, may the youth rise up. Amen. And they know that they have the support of the younger the older generation, that the older generation is just here to just listen to them and pour out their love on them and build them up and walk with them together and link arms with them, you know, so that, you know, in the days that are coming, it's not just the young people walk together and then the older who walk together. No, Father, we say that right now you're going to link the generations and that everyone will be walking together and that you'll just build their bond up so strong like a family in unity that church for them will then extend beyond the church.
Yes.
That anything and obstacles they face in school, at work, in homes, everything, they will be able to walk together and walk with each other and support each other in. And that in that way, you'll build up their faith.
Lord, we just thank you that when you birth new things, that there's a tenderness there, but there's such potential. We thank you, Father, that it's at that time that the growth is big. I just thank you, Lord, that your heart for them is that they'll grow in freedom, they'll grow in worship, that they'll grow in adoration for you, they'll grow in that the tenderness, Lord, and that humility will just give such room for your Holy Spirit to do such powerful things in their hearts, linking them together and giving them joy. We just thank you, Father, for the fruit of the Holy Spirit that will be set free among them so that they'll grow so much in that fruit, in that fruit of the Holy Spirit, that they'll grow in love, they'll grow in joy, grow in peace, grow in patience and kindness and goodness. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I also want to add quickly. I know we're all hungry, but Father, I just want to add quickly to thank you for Larry and Gemma. Amen. Father God, I just thank you that they heard from you, that this youth group was needed, and then they're stepping out in faith. And that, you know, every time that they meet, they don't know how many will show up, but that every time they're stepping out in faith. And we just thank you so much for their faith, and I know you will honor and bless them for it. In Jesus' name, amen.